God bless you, and welcome to Spirit and Truth Fellowship International's audio podcast. Our goal is to provide you with Bible-based teachings that will help you walk in a transforming relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We hope you will be inspired by what you're about to hear.
John 3:16 says what? For God so loved the world that he did what?
Gave.
One begot the Son, that whosoever believed in him would not
perish,
but have what?
Everlasting
life. You see, God is very gracious. He went first, didn't he? Yeah. Now, when you're a new believer, that's pretty cool, isn't it? Because you find out, hey, God loves me, right? So God loves me. I love me. We're going to get along just fine, aren't we? Right? He wants me blessed. I want me blessed. This is a good deal. I'm all over this. But of course, that's not the final goal, is it? I'm sorry. Some people are leaving now. That's not good. 1 John 4. Let's get into the scriptures quickly here, okay? Verse 9. It says, this is how the love of God was revealed among us. That God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we could live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we should sit in the hammock and relax and be real thankful. That's the Dave text, yes. It's new. No, it says, if God so loved us, we also are obligated to do what?
Love
one another. Now, in my life, when I have trouble loving people, generally the reason is because I've forgotten just how much God's loved me, right? And when you come back to that, like, that's right, God's done cool stuff for all of us, right? Eternal life, awesome God stuff. He's done it for us, hasn't he, right? Now, take your Bibles, please, and turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. Here's another new revelation here. Jesus Christ is real. Okay, you with me?
Yeah.
Is he real?
He's real.
Okay. No, the reason I ask is I came from New England, and people up there, amen, John Matthew, you say it. In New England, Jesus is not as popular as he is down where I live in Virginia. Just kind of the way it is. And I was talking to this lady at work, you know, about the word and everything, and she goes, well, I don't believe in Jesus Christ. You know, not being antagonistic. I just looked at her and said, you will. Your time's coming. You don't leave the planet. And you know, so it's okay. I just hope I'm there when it happens. Wouldn't that be great? Remember that guy? That's him right there. Yeah. Yeah, maybe you're right, he doesn't exist. Oh, that's right, he does. Sorry. Yeah. That'd be great. That's one of the little goals. Yeah, it's crazy that way. All right, back to Matthew 28. It's been a long day, okay? Verse 19. Well, 18 first. It says, and Jesus came to them and spoke to them, saying, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations in my name. All right, teaching them to obey all that I commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, what have we learned from this? All right? First of all, who's got all authority?
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's kind of why he got to be Lord, right? He's got all authority, isn't he? He's kind of in charge, isn't he, right? What else do we know?
It was given to him.
Yeah, he was given authority. He's in charge, right? It was given to him. Now, what does he want? He says, make disciples of whom?
All
the nations. You know what it doesn't say? Make about 50, 60 disciples, and then have like a boatload of sheep. Right? That'd be good. Sheep upon sheep, and a couple of disciples. That'd be nice. You be disciples. The rest of you, get a lot of sheep, okay? You relax. You know, we'll get the food out. Right?
Who writes this stuff?
I don't know. I don't write this. He wants us all to be disciples, right? Disciplined followers. That's the goal here. And along that line, what he's after is for all of us to be mature, to grow up. The word in Greek is teleos. And it means to grow up, to become mature, right? Look at Matthew chapter 5, please. All right. heard, verse 43, it says, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Nice, right? Who wrote that verse? I don't know, right? Yeah. Now look at the next phrase, next verse. So that you can be sons of whom?
Your
Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. Now look down to verse 48. It says, therefore you are to be what?
Mature.
As your heavenly Father is mature. Now, I don't know if you remember the King James version for this verse, but it says, be therefore perfect, like God is perfect. Oh yeah, I'm going to make that one, aren't I? Yeah. There's a standard I'll never see, right? No, it's mature though. God wants us to grow up. And the standard of growing up is this concept of love. It's of getting out of ourselves, not what's in it for me, what can I do for you? How do I help you? All right? Now, Acts 9, please. Acts chapter 9. So Jesus Christ wants disciples of all nations. He wants us all to grow and be mature. And what we see with that is, that's going to involve us kind of getting out of ourselves, isn't it? And loving other people. Reaching out and saying, hey, what can I do for you, man? You know, it's not about me anymore. How can I help you? See? Now, in Acts 9, this is the record where Saul has a little meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ, right, Matt? Now, Saul's going around hurting Christians, right? Having a heck of a time, isn't he? And what happens? Bright light shines, right on him, right? He falls to the ground, whoa! Paul's like, wake-up call right here, right? And look what it says in verse 3. Now, while he's going along, it came to pass that as he approached Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven shined around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Hey, why are you persecuting me? Hello, why are you doing this? Right? And he said, verse 5, who are you, Lord? Oops, right? Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Twice Jesus Christ said, you're persecuting me. Right? Mm-hmm. Now, it doesn't say it in the text here, but John can verify in the Greek, but Saul actually responds to the Lord here and says, wait a minute, I don't persecute you. Well, I get this rules. Actually, I have two rules. Number one, I don't wear white sandals after Labor Day. And number two, I don't mess with people up in the sky with bright lights. Right? I don't do that. Okay? So who are you talking about, Jesus? Right? What's he talking about? Why does Jesus say he's persecuting me? Because it's the body, right? It's the believers. See how personal that is to the Lord Jesus? He's real, and he cares about each and every one of us, right? He cares about each and every one of us. Well, now, if he's Lord, meaning like boss, master, he's in charge, right? And he cares so much about Ryan, what might I want to do? I'll give you a hint. Care about Ryan! Yeah! That wasn't a trick question. I know people were wondering. Yeah. No, that's what we want to do. Now, Ephesians 4, please. Ephesians 4. And I know some of this is not new material here, but my focus on this today is to say, look, Jesus is real, isn't he? He wants disciples of all nations. It's important to Jesus. It should probably be important to whom? Yeah, right? And that becomes a motivation, doesn't it? If I know there's a situation where I need to get involved, hey, Jesus Christ wants this man blessed right here, so guess what I'm going to do? Wait for someone else to do it. No, I'm going to jump in and help this man, right? Because who? Jesus wants it done, doesn't he? Who thinks Jesus is real? Anybody? Okay, the right one. Just confirming, I'm at the Plumbers Convention or something. I didn't want to do the wrong thing. Chapter 4, verse 1, please. It says, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, and that's a great first word, isn't it? Therefore? Therefore. I do that at home. I come down in the morning and I see my wife and I say, therefore, I'll have eggs for breakfast. And like she does often, she'll do the eye roll and kind of goes, right? Yeah. My kids do it now. My kids give me the eye roll. It's like, this is a flag, right? Come on. My kids do it. Why is the therefore here in verse 1? Well, because if you read chapters 1 to 3 of Ephesians, it tells about all the cool stuff God did, right? How he saved us by grace, not of works. You didn't do it yourself. I did it to bless you, right? And then you get chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. with all humility and meekness, with long suffering, showing forbearance to one another in love. And who's this addressed to? Kind of all of us, right? This isn't the ministers. This is everybody, isn't it? Right? Being diligent, verse 3, to do what? Keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And that's pretty cool, isn't it? That's pretty cool. Whose job is it to keep the unity of the Spirit?
Ours.
Yeah. In order to do that, guess what that means for me? I've got to start thinking about you, don't I? That's what this unity thing is all about. Now, jump down to verse 11, please. Verse 11. And he, talking about whom? Jesus Christ, right? He's the guy that's real, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's probably rolling his eyes right now on Dave, really. Where are you going with this? Now, Jesus Christ, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now, let's just stop right there. Was Jesus wrong there?
No.
When he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, was he wrong?
No.
Right? Because, like, how often did he please God?
All the time.
Yeah. Because we all know that record in the Gospels where God says, hey, this is my beloved son. Deal with it. This is my beloved son. Every family's got one. No. This is my beloved son, what? In whom I am well pleased. Why was Jesus Christ always well pleasing to God? Because he always spoke what God wanted spoken, and he always what? Did what God wanted done. He did it right. So this is the right decision, isn't it? He was right here. You don't see God going, whoops, no, I didn't mean that. Scratch that. Paul, no, not apostles. It's right. It's right, isn't it? Why did he do this? Why? What's the purpose here? Well, initially, verse 12. Verse 12 says, he gave these guys, these women, for the equipping of the holy ones for the work of ministry with a view to the building up of the body of Christ. Now, the old King James used to say, for the perfecting of the saints. And I like that word perfecting. It's not really right, but it could be actually better. But I like perfecting. I hate that they changed it, right? But the reason I like perfecting is that God equips us how? Perfectly. Yeah. I mean, if you were a world champion ice skater, you had your equipment on, right? And they said, oh, no, you're going to play for the New England Patriots football team. Are you equipped?
No.
Well, you are, but what? Not right, are you? Not equipped well. You're going to get hurt, basically, is what's going to happen, right? So, when God equips, he equips perfectly. He gives exactly what we need, right? And what these apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers' job is to equip the saints for the work of ministry, right? That's the whole reason he's doing this. That's the initial reason, right? With a view to the building up of the body of Christ. Now, last night, we ordained 11 awesome people to ministry. I call them the Heavenly 11. And what's great about the Heavenly 11 is, now that they're here, all right, they get to do all the work. Because they're ordained now. So we can sit back and watch and say, wow, John, you're awesome. Do it, John. After the game, I'll come check in on you. But man, you're doing a great job. Right? Is that right, you think?
Yeah.
No. They equip the saints for what? The work of ministry. Because whose job is the work of ministry?
Body of Christ.
Yeah, the body of Christ. All of us, right? It's all of our job, right? That's what we're supposed to do. Now, the ministers help us, don't they? But their job is to help us so that we can be better at helping others. That's kind of the goal. What's the long-term goal? Verse 13. Until we all attain to what?
Unity
of the faith. That's important. And of the knowledge of the Son of God. To a mature man and to the measure of Christ's full stature. See, that's the ultimate goal. You know, when each and every believer is as mature as possible, then the work's done. Are we there yet?
Yeah, right?
I look in the mirror, I know that is no. Right? But that's the goal, is that we all get to be mature. What might that look like? Well, the Apostle Paul, arguably, was the most mature believer in the Grace Administration. I mean, maybe he had some competition, but he's up there. Imagine if our fellowships were all filled with Apostle Pauls. That'd be one sweet fellowship, wouldn't it? Right? Are we there yet? Okay, well, don't answer that. But that's the goal, isn't it? The goal is to get to that point where we are there. Now, our calling then, we know the goal initially, right, is to get to that point, to get the edifying of the saints through the work of ministry. Ultimately, the goal, right, is until we all attain the unity of the faith and get to that perfect maturity. What's the process for that? Well, the process is ministers do all the work while we sit in hammocks watching the Red Sox. Is that right? The Heavenly 11. Thank God they're here, right? No. No, the goal is that they help us get better, equip us, then what do? We get to work. We get in there and build. That's how it's supposed to go. And importantly, that's what Jesus wants. And that's important, right? Is Jesus real again?
Yes.
Okay.
Right. So that's what he wants. He wants that. Well, if he wants it and I love him, guess what? I've got to start wanting it, don't I? I've got to start saying, hey, I'm in this. I'm in the game here. See, I want to be better at this. I like this. Dan said about stretching. How can we be better at stretching? Be better at loving people. Better at giving. Better at serving. See? My lovely bride, Mrs. Hansen, did a great teaching on one of the CDs called As Each Part Does Its Work. And she talked about things that get in the way. You know, distractions, people getting hurt. You know, and those are real. People have been hurt, haven't we? We've all been hurt, haven't we? We've all had stuff go down that hasn't been pleasant, right? We've all been distracted, maybe. But does it change what Jesus wants? No. See? And we've got to say to ourselves, look, I know I've gone through this, but you know what? Jesus wants and needs me to get involved to be better. See? To be the one that just gets in the game and gets it done, right? Now, look at 1 Corinthians, please, chapter 10. So the calling of every believer then, because Jesus wants all nations to be what? Disciples, right? So, for me, David, I got two goals, don't I? Goal one, David has to be a better disciple. I've got to read my Bible more, maybe. Maybe I've got to pray a little more, give a little more, help a little more. But that's not the only thing I have to do. I'm also part of the body of Christ, and Jesus wants me to help build that body of Christ to make everyone mature, to get to that point. That's the goal. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Maybe I'll get there too, and that'd be fun. Okay, 1 Corinthians 10. Look at verse 33. Paul, by revelation, writes, even as I also please everyone in all things, not seeking what?
My own
profit. My own profit, but what?
The
profit of the
many,
so that they might be saved. Now, verse 1 of chapter 11 is the footnote in the REV that's actually the continuation of the context. Paul writes by revelation, be imitators of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now, Paul, when he got knocked to the ground, when he saw the light persecuting Jesus, that lit him up, didn't it? That totally lit him up. He was into the Jesus program for the rest of his days, wasn't he, right? And that's why he says in his statement like this. He says, I'm going to take Jesus. This is what Jesus wants. I'm going to do it. So that's an interesting question we have. You know, what is Jesus doing now? Well, what's one thing we know Jesus is doing right now for us? I'll give you a hint. Making?
Intercession.
Intercession. Yeah. He's making intercession for us. What do we know then? What does that tell us?
He's praying for us.
He's praying for us?
Means we need it.
Something?
He's paying attention to what's going on.
He's paying attention. Yeah, isn't he?
Yeah.
Is he praying for Ryan?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
some question marks out there, Rob. Be careful. Yeah. I'll give you a hint. Yes, he is, right? But if he, Jesus, thinks it's important enough to pray for Ryan, what might be a good idea for Dave to figure out? Yeah, because Jesus wants it done, doesn't he? See? How about Ephesians chapter 6? Chapter 6, look at verse 18. It says, be praying every couple of months in the Spirit.
No.
No. How about be praying when? At all times. Jesus is doing it, right? Be praying at all times in the Spirit with all kinds of prayer and supplication. Answer that end. Keep watching with all perseverance and supplication for all the holy ones. That's what Jesus wants. Why does Jesus pray for us, do you think? Why does he make intercession?
Because we need it.
We need it.
Okay, yeah. That's number one. Absolutely.
Because
Amen to that, right? This is a whole teaching in itself. Please help me. Right? But also, right? Because he cares, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He loves us, right? He think our Lord loves us. He makes intercession for us. Would that make it maybe something important to us? Yeah. And if Jesus thinks it's important, guess what? It's important, right? And therefore, maybe I need to start stepping it up a little bit. Okay, if Jesus thinks it's important, maybe Dave's got to wake up to the fact too then. Maybe I need to pray more too. Because he wants it done. That's the key. It's what he wants done. Oh, this is great stuff. See, here's the key to unity. Does it talk about unity? It was Martin Luther King who said, true peace is not the absence of conflict, but the presence of what? Justice. Right? In other words, just the fact that nobody's fighting doesn't mean there's peace. I would like to say that true unity with our prayer is like that. True unity is not the absence of strife, but it's the presence of caring saints, loving and passionately building each other up and praying for each other. We're talking about unity this weekend, right? Well, that's a big piece of it, isn't it? That's a big piece of it. And how we build unity is by building each other up, right? Starts with prayer. Now, look at 2 Thessalonians, please, chapter 2. This is something I just, there's a verse that sometimes, if you do that, you read the scriptures, you see these verses, and you're like, that's been there like all the time? I read that 300 times, and there it is, really? You know? Well, this is one of the ones for me as I was working on this. Look at this verse. Chapter 2, verse 16. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us, and by grace gave us age-abiding encouragements and a good hope, encourage and establish your hearts in every good work and word. Paul wrote this by revelation, right? So who's the author of this? Ultimately God through Jesus, right? And he's praying that the Lord Jesus Christ would encourage and establish your hearts in every good word and work. So what else is Jesus going to do? Establish and encourage us, right? Now the bells start going off. If this is important to Jesus, guess what? Should be important to whom? All of us. Well, what's Jesus doing here? Well, encouraging and establishing your hearts in every good word and work. Well, if that's important to Jesus, that's his path to get the goal done of unity, I want to be on the same path. Jesus, that works for you. Guess what? I want to play. Let me be part of the team here, Lord. All right, let me get in here. Look at 1 Thessalonians, please. Chapter 2. Remember we said Paul was in the program, right? Paul was into this thing, wasn't he? So Jesus is going to establish and strengthen and encourage. This is what Paul writes by revelation about his time in Thessalonica. And I've got to tell you, this is like my favorite book of the Bible, 1 Thessalonians. And the reason is this verse. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2. Well, we'll pick up in verse 11. It says, for you know, you guys know, you remember, you know how we dealt with each one of you as a father with whom? His own children. Well, I'm a dad. I've got four children, and I actually know all their names. I know, right? Thank you. I've been all week. I know all their names. And you know what I do? Allegra's my oldest, so I say, Allegra, I've got a message for Nathaniel. So go tell Grace to tell Luke to tell Nathaniel the message. That'd be kind of inconsistent. That really wouldn't work, would it? No, if I want to talk to Nathaniel, guess what I do? Yeah, amazing, huh? It's cutting edge stuff here. Right? You don't get this everywhere, do you? Right? But that's the kind of relationship. And look how Paul wasn't some big guy sitting here teaching the masses all the time. Sometimes he's writing with somebody saying, hey man, how can I help you? How can I work with you to help your faith? See? That's a leader. That's a guy that's imitating Christ, isn't he? That's a guy that's taking the Lord Jesus Christ seriously and saying, I can do this. I can get in the game. I can help. And I love that. And look what he's doing. You know how he dealt with each one of you as a father with his own children, encouraging you and comforting you and urging you to walk in a manner worthy of God. Is this important to Jesus? Yeah. Right? I mean, you think so? Who says yes?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Right? Yeah, it's important to the Lord that we get built up each other. Each one of us works with people to get better. See, that's the goal. Because if we all do that for each other, guess what happens? We all get built up, don't we? We all get built up. And that's a great place to be, isn't it? Look at Romans 14, please. Romans 14. I mean, Paul was kind of the gold standard of this, but the reason he was because he was locked into what Jesus Christ wanted. Romans 14. There it is, verse 19. Romans 14, 19. It says, "So then, let us continually pursue the things that produce peace and things that do what?
Build
up one another." Right? Build up one another. Whose responsibility is to build up each other?
Ours.
It's all of ours, right? Now, I can get selfish and just say, "Hey, I'm going to Dave. I'm going to do Dave's program with Dave, and that's all Dave we're going to have right there." But that's not what Jesus wants, is it? Is he Lord or my Lord? That's an easy one, isn't it? Yeah, he's Lord. In case there's a question. Yeah, he is, right? And he wants us to be that way. Now, years ago, and well, actually, it's probably decades ago now, years ago, I went to this leadership program that we had. We had a big thing every year. It was my first time going, you know, with the leaders, with the heavies, you know, little Dave, you know, coming to my first time, and, you know, all these spiritual people. And I'd been working stuff on, you know, praying for people and healing and stuff and this kind of thing, and I thought, and I a little laughed, because I prayed that I could, you know, have opportunities to minister or get better at praying for healing. But I'm thinking, I'm with all the leaders. These guys don't have problems. I'm almost like laughing at how stupid my goal is. These guys don't have problems. They're all spiritual. They're all leaders, right? Guess what happened?
Tell us.
Yes, ma'am. You weren't there? That's right, you weren't there. I ended up praying for a million people. You know why? Because even all these heavy leaders, guess what? They all had stuff going on. They all had issues, didn't they? Like us, we all have, we're the walking wounded many times, aren't we, right? You know, no one escapes. The action doesn't like not pick on us for a while, right? He's always busting chops once in a while, is he? And what that tells you is, you know what? I didn't even realize it. I'm getting my chops busted. Maybe my brother is too. Maybe my sister's getting hurt too. Maybe I can focus on how evil it is for me, poor Dave. Or maybe I can say, you know what? These guys can come over and jump in. You know what? I'm going to be part of the solution here as opposed to part of the problem. See, that's where we want to go. And I got to call up my friend here. Because it wasn't all that long ago, 3 or 4 or 5 months, I was in one of those miserable, down, spiral-like places where I'm like, not blessed at all. Crunched out. Just, my job was like nuts. Things were going crazy. And my buddy, Mr. Steve Lavo, calls on the phone just to say hi. He just starts ministering. Like half an hour ago, and I'm sitting there going, this guy's amazing. He didn't call me because, oh, Dave screwed up again. No clue there. Gotta get in there. He didn't know that. He just called to say hi. And yet he started speaking the word and ministering to my soul, and I thought, that's why I love that guy. Because that's what it's all about in the body of Christ, that we're there for each other. We all have those times, don't we? How many of you have ever had someone minister to you some way? Are you thankful? Are you glad?
Yeah,
thank God, right? We're all that way. We all need that, don't we? And guess who the responsibility lies with? All of us, yeah. We're the ones doing this. Like Romans 14, 19 said, the things that build up one another. That's got to be our focus, right? Look at Colossians, please, chapter 1. Colossians, chapter 1. See, if it's important to Jesus, it's got to be what?
Important
to us, right? I just said that before, didn't I? Who writes these notes? I don't know. Colossians 1. Remember Paul, right? Paul was really in the program, wasn't he? He was locked up, loaded, wasn't he? Right? Look at Colossians 1. Verse 27. Colossians 1, 27. It says, God wanted to make known to them what is the riches of the glory of this sacred secret among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Interestingly, it doesn't stop there. For me, it did. Christ in me, I'm blessed. God's blessing me. I like blessing me. We're getting along just fine here. But the chapter doesn't end there, does it? Because if that's all we're in for Paul, Paul wanted people to know that, but next verse. We proclaim him, admonishing whom?
Everyone.
And teaching whom?
Everyone.
With all wisdom. Why? So that we can present everyone what?
Mature.
Sound familiar?
Yeah.
what Jesus wanted, isn't it? And Paul was locked into a program. Paul said, that's what Jesus wants. I want to labor and do it. I want to get in the game and do it. And that's what verse 29 says. Look at 29. And I'm toiling for that goal. He did, didn't he? You know, you read the book of Acts. What did he do? They went to an area, they taught, they built, they strengthened. See, you gotta go. Go somewhere else. Write the letter. Do whatever they could to bless, minister, build. What they're all about. It's what he lived for. Why was it important to Paul? It was important to whom?
Christ Jesus.
Christ Jesus. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Look at verse 29 again. And I am toiling for that goal, struggling in accord with his working. Yeah, we don't leave Jesus out of this. He's part of the team, right? He's in this too. With his working, which powerfully works in me. But of course, that was an apostle in the old time. God doesn't work like that in us, right?
No.
It works mightily in us. We have that same spirit that Paul had, don't we? See? We can walk that way. We can ask the Lord to help in ministering to one another, right? We can do that. Does Jesus want it done?
Yeah.
If Jesus wants it done, he wants us to do it. Might it make sense? Might it not be too much of a logical jump to think that he might just help us?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right? How cool is that? Father, I want to bless my common bottle. How do I do it? See? And he might say something off the wall, like, you know, you got to do this such and such. Really? I know a guy years ago, walking on the street in New York City, eating an ice cream cone. Guy's coming the other way. God says, take the ice cream cone and stick it in his face. I'm sorry. Excuse me? Is this thing on? Right. Say it again. Stick it in his face. He does. Sticks it in the guy's face. Totally got the guy's attention. Totally freaks him out. It had to happen. Thankfully, he wasn't shot. It could happen in New York City. Nothing. Right? No, he was. The guy got totally turned on. He was totally humiliated, but then humbles. And guess what happened? Became a great believer. Became a great believer. See? Now, that's a pretty gutsy revelation there, isn't it? Right? I mean, the last in the guy's face, really? You know? I had a less exciting issue, but it's cool kind of how it happened. I'm in Los Angeles in college years ago, decades ago, eons ago, like a way long time ago. And in a funk, in one of those kind of funks, like, ugh, I'm storming around, right? I'm about 9:30 at night, I'm just storming around the campus, mad, rolling. And there's this Vietnamese kid sitting on this little bench. The Lord says, go walk, go witness to him. No, I'm too mad. No, you gotta go witness to him. Okay, go back and sit down. This guy, hey, you know God's good? Yes. No, Jesus Christ loves you? Yes. You know the Bible's true? Yes. I want to roll now. I'm like 5 for 5. I'm cranking, right? It takes me about, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 minutes, 17, 18, 20 questions. The word dawns on me. This guy has one word of knowledge for the English language. Yes! I put some of my biscuits off! I go, yes! Yes! Guess who ended up real glad? Well, he maybe did, I don't know. But I'm something like, stop it, okay? No. No, I was thrilled, boy, because God was ministering to me to get me out of funk land where I was living. What a crazy way to do it, too. Really, Father? You know? He said, Angel Man, after each one, no, watch this, man, I got this going. Okay, that's what you want, right? But Angel Man, hey, watch this, I'm looking at Dave Good here, watch this, right? But see, that's how much God loves us and cares, right? And we'll bring it back. Where I need to be ministered to, unique way of doing it, I will confess. And yet it worked, yet it worked. So one more time, verse 29, and I am toiling for that goal. Look at the words in here. Struggling in accord with his working, which powerfully works in me. I'd like you to turn to John chapter 14. And Ryan, would you play that song, please? I want you to listen to this song, and hopefully you can read the words on here. This song, I first heard it back in like 1510 or something. It wasn't that long, but it was a while ago. And I got to say, it really changed how I looked at life. Let's play this song. Listen to the words, though. It's just like, it's kind of a slow song, so like.
When no one gave me time of day. You look deep inside while the rest of the world look away. gave me love when nobody gave me a prayer. That's why. That's why I call you friend. You touched my heart, you touched my soul, and helped me start all over again. That's why I love you, Jesus. That's why.
Heard was a presentation of Spirit and Truth Fellowship International. For further study, we encourage you to visit our research website, truthortradition.com. If you would like to get your copy of this teaching on CD or tape, you can go online at our home website, stfonline.org/store. or call us toll-free at 888-255-6189. Again, that's 888-255-6189. God bless you.